Movies, TV, streaming, all the things you should be watching. It's The Feed with Kevin Begley, Star 99.9.
All right, every week we talk TV, movies, streaming, all the things that are coming out this week that you should be checking out with our friend Nick Johnston, who writes for Vinyland.com about TV and movies. And Nick, what do we got going on this week?
Well, we got plenty of stuff. I mean, actually, not really. It's pretty quiet for a big reason, and that's that there's a very big movie coming out in theaters this Friday. You know, it's been a pretty quiet 2 weeks, and I think it's time that everybody go back to the movie theater for a big old release. But we got three things this week as usual. We'll go from largest to smallest, excuse me. And the last entry may surprise you. Oh. So yeah, first up, we've got the big theatrical release of the week. You know, a movie so big, quite literally every single film moved as far away from it as they possibly could. And for somehow it probably will still get beat by the Super Mario Brothers movie. And that is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And apparently required by law, I've looked this up in the Bill of Rights, are actually required by law to refer to it as Volume 3. Because if you say 3, like, Disney will just send a team of snipers to your house. And just wait till you leave, make a move, and then blam, they'll shoot you with a Mickey Mouse tranquilizer dart. And the next thing you know, you're an animatronic person at Disney World. So, anyhow, you know the score. It's the tale, continuing adventures of, you know, Chris Pratt. Why am I forgetting his name right now? Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, Groot, and Rocket Raccoon in their final outing together before James Gunn goes off and makes a bunch of DC movies, including a Superman movie. So, yeah. It's probably going to be a pretty fun time. The villain in this guy, one of the bad guys, is the High Evolutionary, who is an obscure Marvel character that nobody really cares about. And the same thing with Adam Warlock, who is a golden man played by Will Poulter. So, I have no idea what it's about, really, in terms of, like, the overall scope of the stories. But I do know that one last ride, I tell you what, that tagline is always irresistible. And to be real with you, these are the Marvel movies I have the most genuine fondness for. I've really liked the first two films, so I'm really excited to see what James Gunn and company have in store for us when it hits theaters this Friday.
Yeah, me too. And they have that ride now, so I feel like they're going to have these movies around for a while.
Oh yeah, well they're probably going to have them in some different form.
Yeah.
It's funny because every single member of that cast has expressed an extreme amount of displeasure with the whole James Gunn getting fired situation.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure this is Dave Bautista's last Marvel film. So he's, unless they pony up the paycheck, but hey, he's in Dune. Who cares? You know? So, who knows? I mean, Gunn's sort of really the big creative force behind why this has been so good. So he's off to DC at Warner Brothers with doing DC stuff now. So who knows? But you know, they'll find some way.
Yeah.
They'll find some way. Rocket Raccoon's gotta, you know, he's gotta be around for another 30 years or so.
Right.
So anyway, next up, we've got our big streaming release of the week, which is, Star Wars Visions Season 2. Now, I don't know if, you know, we've talked a lot about The Mandalorian, about Andor, about Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I highly recommend you check out the animated shows that Disney puts out, you know, the Bad Batch, the Clone Wars, etc. And this one is by far the most interesting out of all of them. And that's because basically it's like the Animatrix. If any of you are old enough out there in radio land to remember what the Animatrix was, which was a collection of various Japanese animation studios that did shorts based around The Matrix Reloaded before that movie came out. And it's the same thing with Star Wars Visions, except it's more of a global animation focus this time around. The first season is really, really cool. I mean, it quite literally took a Japanese studio to finally bring out the true Akira Kurosawa influence on Star Wars and put it just into the text. They had like a samurai battle, Jedi Knight, you know, all that sort of stuff, but with all the old school Edo period, you know, trappings. And I really admire that. I like seeing what different people cook up. I mean, it's one thing when you have, you know, the whole host of Japanese creators. When you expand it overseas and you have studios from Ireland, from Spain, and even Aardman Studios, the people who made Wallace and Gromit, you're in for some pretty interesting stuff. That Star Wars Visions, it's a really cool little thing. It doesn't really require a huge time commitment either. But it's just a lot of fun, and it's fun if you really just like the idea of seeing where people can push the aesthetic boundaries of Star Wars in a very short and easy to digest format. So I highly recommend you check it out. That it streams, of course, tomorrow, May 4th, on Disney Plus.
I see what they did there. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. They always have something, and it's never one of their huge shows. It's always something a lot smaller. Because I remember when Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think, came out at the end of May, you know?
Oh, right.
Like, they were like, did you really need that extra 3 weeks of production, post-production, in order to get this thing out in the door? So, yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that one out tomorrow. And finally, we've got our by far the silliest thing I think I've ever referenced on here, something I didn't even know existed until I happened to be watching the NBA playoffs at a restaurant the other night. And that is the MTV Movie Awards, or shall I say, the MTV Movie NTV Awards, which they renamed, of course, after they had to acknowledge that television was a cultural force and that streaming exists, too. So, you know, so Stranger Things can get a bunch of nominations as well.
Right.
So this year's installment is taking place in an aircraft hangar. I'm not even kidding. in the Los Angeles area. And it's hosted by none other than the once and future It Girl, Drew Barrymore.
Wow.
So, exactly. I know, right? I was stunned. I genuinely was.
When is this happening? Is it this weekend?
Yeah, it's on Sunday. It's happening on Sunday. You know, I genuinely thought they retired that award.
Right,
show after
so did
Twilight
I.
Twilight won for 10 years. But no, they've been having it every year. No one's cared, though.
Oh, man. That's wacky.
I remember when this was, I think it's just the general downfall of MTV.
Yeah.
But I I'm not that old. I remember when this was like a big cultural phenomenon.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I remember when who hosted? I can't remember. They had that one parody that year with Will Ferrell as the architect and the Matrix Reloaded.
Or yes.
The Tropic Thunder guys all hosting, you know, Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr. and Jack Black all hosting.
And it used to be like the cooler, younger Oscars. And they would sort of award all those comedies that the Oscars used to not really recognize. It used to be a big deal.
Yeah, it used to be huge. I mean, like I've made plenty of. Like let me just put it straight too. Like there's been a lot of really crappy award shows like that.
Right.
Like anybody remember the Blockbuster Awards? I'm pretty sure no one does. But
I don't.
So exactly. But you have this. It's just so incredible to me that it still exists and that people have still been. I mean, the difference is now that the Twilight era, ever since the fan base of Twilight realized those votes could be gamed.
Yeah.
That it's just changed over to just constantly awarding Marvel every year.
Right.
So, I don't know if DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever puts odds on the line for who's going to win the MTV Movie Award. But I've got to assume that Black Panther Wakanda Forever is probably the betting favorite.
They're going to have to turn it into just the Marvel Awards at some point. It'll just be all the superhero categories.
Exactly. So if you're one of the five people in America with still has cable, you can check that out on Sunday at I believe 8 p.m. I just got to wonder, like, you know how there's the Vanity Fair party after the Oscars?
Yeah, yeah.
The big old, you know, celebration. Well, here's my thought. What exactly is the equivalent of for the MTV Movie Awards? You know, is it like a bunch of TikTokers take over a White Castle?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, it's probably one of the TikTok houses in California. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hype house. I mean, it's where they commit petty acts of vandalism. And,
Now gosh. I'm just intrigued to see what this is even going to look like. So I might even tune in.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, I don't know. I think it's the, I mean, I think the, you know, who knows? Maybe something will show up. But I'll tell you what, it's the only place in the entirety of the film world that you will see something like Top Gun Maverick and Nope paired up with Scream 6 as movie of the year. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. So have fun checking that out.
Yeah.
Tell me how it is.
Right, yeah. Everyone, I'm gonna tune in at least for a couple minutes. Everyone else can do the same. Or just go see Guardians 3.
Yeah, go for it.
All right,
absolutely.
Nick. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you next week, Kevin.
Thanks.